Businesses have always faced different kinds of risk, but in the last two decades, cyber risk has become one of the fastest growing threats to business today. That includes orthodontic practices. Today we're talking about cyber terrorism, HIPAA and PCI compliance, and risk mitigation with a risk management expert. Stay with us. Welcome to another episode of Ortho Thrive. I'm your host, Richie Gerzon. Today we have Danielle McKinley joining us, known as the HIPAA Chick. Danielle has worked in risk mitigation for over a decade and is the founder of the HIPAA Chick and a founding member of PCI HIPAA. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So Danielle, why don't you just tell us what got you started in the risk management industry with like dental and orthodontics?
Well, probably not the answer anyone is thinking about. This is not what I, like, as a young little girl, saw myself dreaming about and doing, right?
Yeah.
But love it nonetheless. So, like, for me, my passion is really giving back and helping people. And when I realized how complicated compliance is and that this isn't taught in school and it's not a fun topic, so it's easily pushed down the priority list, I realized that, okay, there's a niche here. And people need help. So I really became passionate about it because it's a way to give back and to help someone do something that they don't really want to be doing, but is super necessary to protecting the business they've worked so hard for.
Absolutely. That is definitely needed right now. So let's just talk a little bit about the state of the world right now in general, the vulnerabilities of the systems we have in the US and our cybersecurity issues. Cybersecurity is huge right now. Importance, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's ransomware is, you know, the number one threat to all businesses right now. So it's not just in the healthcare space, but that's definitely the number one thing that we're seeing. And malware, of course, is still big with people clicking on a link that looks legitimate, but then installs malware into your system.
I know there's so many ways to get tricked. And, you know, my grandparents are not super computer savvy. And they'll tell me about things they clicked. I'm like, no, like you were totally phishing. Why did you do that?
Yep.
But it's tough, man. It gets tricky. And even it's just hard.
Yeah. I got a text message today that said, you know, thanks for being an avid user of Venmo. We'd love to get your feedback and give you $100 gift card. Answer these questions. Click here. Like that's a perfect example of phishing scam. So those just go delete, but you get that like curiosity and you're like, ooh. And people click on it and that's how they get
absolutely. That bait can be very, very attractive for sure. Mm-hmm. My business partner's wife had her social security number posted on a dark web a while back and it just ruined her identity, like to the point that she had to get a new social security number because people were just taking out all these loans. It was just going crazy. So he knows firsthand how important this can be.
Well, and that's what they want really. So like zooming in to like the healthcare sector, right? The cyber criminals don't care about the last time you were in for a cleaning or how your ortho treatment is going. They want your identity profile. They want the social security number, the billing information. That's the data that's super valuable and why we're seeing so much of this activity.
That makes sense. Do you ever find yourself being paranoid in your daily life about this kind of stuff?
You know, I wouldn't say that it's paranoid. If anything, it's just like having that awareness, right? And so I'm super grateful for it because it helps me avoid those catches, that bait that you spoke of, right? Yeah. But and just being able to share the knowledge and some quick tips to help people avoid an easy trap, like click here to win $100.
Right. It sounds so innocent. Of course, someone wants to give you $100.
Right, of course they do.
Whereas then when people like us have legitimate campaigns where you could actually win something awesome, it's so tough because people are all jaded.
Yep.
Anyway. All right. So what kind of measures do you personally take kind of to protect yourself?
You know, the number one thing that people don't love, they hate to do, but is a really great measure to take is to update your passwords and not to use a universal password. Like have 5 or 6 passwords that you kind of rotate if you want and figure out a system that works for you, but definitely update things. And if you have multiple bank accounts, don't have the same password for all of them and then use that password for say your Facebook account or your LinkedIn. You want to have, just like you want your team to have unique login, practice that same thing in your personal life.
What do you think about how Google will give you a random password and just save it in your browser?
Not a fan. So there are some things you can use, like KeePass and things that, you know, to help you organize your passwords that are okay. Yeah. But always set up a unique password that you've developed, and, you know, use things like, don't use your name or your birthday. Those are easy things that cyber criminals can look up when trying to hack a password.
Oh yeah.
Use something unrelated. Don't use a part of the email address. And you know, even if you wrote down like, these are my top five passwords that I'm going to use. And you can, if you forget your password, you can kind of look at that list, but you're not keeping a note of what passwords, like what logins those belong to.
Yeah, that's fair. So can you talk a little bit about risk management? What does it mean for people who don't already know?
Yeah, you know, risk management is like so multifaceted. There's so many parts of risk management. I really break it down into three. So you're going to have like your IT risk management. So making sure like your networks are safe, your firewall, that you have a proper data backup solution. And then you're going to have like more of your administrative side. So looking at, you know, are my policies and procedures up to date with my HIPAA and OSHA manual? Am I training my team? Am I using the right training material to train my team and help them understand the do's and don'ts? Do I have things like, you know, business associate agreements that are going to protect me with third-party vendors? And then the physical safety, right? So do I have an alarm system? Am I still transitioning to digital? And am I storing any, you know, paper files behind lock and key? I have a server. Is that locked down to the ground or stored behind lock and key? Those sorts of measures. So
I'll literally have the server locked down physically. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So if you really like, so the three categories then would be like your technical safeguards and assessing that risk, your administrative, and then your physical.
Okay. All right. So you're known as the HIPAA chick. How did that happen? Where did that come from?
Like any good nickname, it was given to me.
Oh,
so, nice. The nicknames that stick are usually the ones that are given to you. And, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm a big believer in helping. So I never, I always encourage people to come with questions. You don't have to be a client of mine. Like I get DMs all the time that are like the voice texts. Hey, this happened. What should I do? And I'm always happy to answer those types of questions. So I was coined the HIPAA chick. You know, you have like, you people are always like, oh, I got a guy for that. You know, you got a new house. I need a plumber. I need this. I got a guy.
Gotcha.
You know, I'm the gal for your compliance needs.
Oh, perfect. All right. Yeah. So what are some like the really the common misconceptions about HIPAA compliance?
So I would say like, there's so many, but we'll narrow down to like some that I'm seeing right now. So a big misconception that I'm seeing right now is I have cyber and data breach insurance, so I'm covered. And
I could see how that would be a reasonable assumption. Okay.
Yep. They're like, I've got $1 million policy, so I'm good to go. Mm. And we all know that insurance companies do not like to pay out, right? They like to limit the amount that is paid or try and get out of paying altogether.
Yeah.
And that happens with cyber and data breach insurance. If you can't prove that you're compliant, there's a good chance they're going to limit the amount paid on the claim. So you want to address your compliance needs first to ensure that that policy works for you.
Yeah. So it's not getting you out. It's not your get out of jail free card there.
Okay. Yep.
All right. So just tell me about PCI compliance. How does it affect the practice?
Yeah. So, you know, that this could be another like misconception, so to speak. So PCI stands for the payment card industry, and it's all the rules and regulations for protecting credit card data. And what a lot of practices don't realize is that if there is a credit card breach in the practice, it's also considered a HIPAA violation. So you have this double liability when an incident happens. So you want to be protected, you know, one, to eliminate that double liability, two, to do right by your patients and their data. But then the third thing is you're probably paying a fee for not being compliant. So a way that you could find that out is by pulling a recent merchant statement and looking at the all other fees section. You'll find it's called like a non-receipt of PCI, a regulatory fee, a compliance fee, and it's usually in the ballpark of about $29 a month. And that is just serving the purpose of your provider telling you, hey, you're not compliant. It's pure profit for them. So
Oh, wow.
You become compliant, that fee is eliminated.
Well, that's very interesting. I've certainly never heard of this fee. Okay.
Yeah.
Check that out ourselves.
Check out the statement. Yeah.
All right. So my assumption, or what I've heard, I should say assumption, what I've heard is that during COVID, HIPAA was sort of loosened a lot in the industry. Can you talk about that a little bit? Was it? Is it still? What's going to happen?
You know, in some ways for teledentistry, for teledentistry or telehealth stuff, it was. But I wouldn't say that it is now. It's almost become more stringent. So what happens with HIPAA is it's always evolving. So it's always changing. And it's usually behind shifts in the marketplace that create new risks. So it's like, okay, we made a change. We went cloud. We went to telehealth. What risks are involved with that? And what changes do we need to make? So as a result of some of those shifts with COVID, there was an initiative for the access rights controls. So how long you have to give access to records and updating policies and procedures and such. So I definitely would not operate under the assumption that things have loosened. There was a brief moment in time where they were making accommodations in order to deal with the current state of the world, but they've now said, okay, they've evaluated what those risks are and made different changes that now need to be in place.
Yeah. So if they were, now they're not. So we definitely need to make sure we're complying. Okay. All right. Can we talk about the HIPAA Safe Harbor bill just passed recently?
Yeah. So HIPAA, the Safe Harbor bill, it passed in January of this year. And it's one of the best laws that have passed around the HIPAA laws because it's designed really to protect a practice. It's to lessen the enforcement when you can prove that you're following the guidelines and you're following the requirements and you have a system in place to stay on top of changes and continue to make adjustments in accordance with those. So basically, if you got compliant in January, this coming January will mark your 12 months. And if a ransomware incident happens or human error occurs, it's going to lessen the severity of penalties or what Health and Human Services may place on you as a result of that incident. So really showing the due diligence is what Safe Harbor is about. So it's, hey, there's things that are always going to be outside of your control, right? Like human error and cyber criminals. So what do I get if I'm doing right and those things still happen? That's, you know, in layman's terms, that's what the Safe Harbor bill is doing. Is
what kind of penalties are you talking about? Like, what would they be?
Yeah, so the penalties are, they have a very wide range, anywhere from like 10,000 to 1.5 million per violation. So
1.5 million per violation. Okay.
Yeah. So it gets up there. You can always check too. Like the HIPAA Wall of Shame is updated frequently. If you go, if you just Google HIPAA Wall of Shame, it'll take you to hhs.gov and show you. Yeah. It'll show you the types of breaches that are happening, the number of records. And then, you know, what happens in those scenarios is, like, let's just use, let's say an investigation. So a patient complains about something that occurred and now Health and Human Services is looking into your practice as a result. And they're going to ask you for, you know, your risk assessment, your HIPAA manual, your proof of training. And for each thing that you don't have, a penalty is assessed. And they give you a corrective action plan for, hey, you have this many days to correct these things. If you don't correct them, more penalties are assessed. So it depends on the type of incident, and it also depends on what your current compliance status is and the representative at Health and Human Services.
Yeah, I bet that makes a big difference. Is it all on the doctor in the practice, or is there some responsibility on the patient? Are there like do's and don'ts that we could form our patients to help?
Yeah, it is on the practice. And that's where, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And that's why I love being able to help and simplify a complicated topic, because there's tons of misconceptions in this space. And naturally, as humans, we gravitate towards things we're good at or that we enjoy. Yes. And for doctors and even office managers, compliance just isn't that. Understandably, it's not the most exciting topic, and it's not fun, but it's very necessary to protect your business and really do right by your patients.
Is there any ways to make it fun or less unfun
for the team? Yeah, like that. I mean, that's what I try to do, right? So, like, yeah, with, you know, the HIPAA check and really simplifying things, I think. And I always say that successful people have two things in common. They are masters of understanding their strengths and weaknesses, and then delegating to their weaknesses. That's so true. Really understanding, like, what am I good at? What am I not good at? And if you ask yourself that question about compliance, you're going to say, I'm not good at that. Right. So then it goes, all right, how do I want to spend my time? And I recommend outsourcing. It's just, it's way more efficient, and it's the best way to get true protection.
Absolutely. That's what we say about marketing. Leave it to the experts, so you know it's getting done properly.
Yep.
So is there a way, what if a doctor thinks they might have a possible HIPAA security violation? Are there signs that they can look for?
Yeah, certainly. So, I mean, always keeping on top of, like, if someone is complaining, that can usually lead to the scenario we were talking about earlier, where there's an investigation. For a data breach, certainly for a cyber incident, your systems will be locked down. You won't be able to use them. Then you definitely know you're dealing with an incident, right? And then malware can take a little bit longer to come to fruition, if you will, because cyber criminals like to get in your system and kind of learn your abilities or install keyloggers so that they can get into your systems. And once that happens, you have to deal with the breach notification laws. So the very best thing to do is to be prepared for something like that rather than be put in a position where you have to be reactive. And the very best way to, like, begin that preparation process is to take a risk assessment, because that's going to tell you where you're at, where you have gaps, and what you need to do to correct them so that you are in fact prepared.
Okay. So if there is a violation, like, what steps should you take after? What are you supposed to do?
Yeah. So when a violation happens, it triggers the breach notification laws, and that is a nightmare. We'll go through some of them. So the first thing is a forensic investigation, and that has to be done by a third party. What the forensics will tell you is, okay, how did the breach happen? What type of breach was it? And then what patient data may have been affected? Mm-hmm. And then the practice will be given a data set that outlines which patients then have to be notified. You have to notify them formally in writing and then set up a call center. You also have to provide and pay for things like identity theft monitoring and insurance for the affected patients. So really understanding, what does your state laws say? Because the state laws tend to be a little more stringent for the timelines that you have to execute these types of steps.
Yep.
So developing, you're required by law to have an emergency and incident response plan. That going through the process of developing that is how you'll become familiar with the requirements. At PCI HIPAA, we have an incident response team that does all of that for you. And we proactively build the plan, but having a plan is going to be the best protection and assurance that you'll be able to recover quickly and have minimal financial damages.
That makes sense. All right. So you talked about outsourcing it. What would be the process to do so?
Yeah. So, I mean, checking out providers like PCI HIPAA, we believe in educating, because, like we've talked about, it's not taught in school. So we set up a free risk assessment for any of your listeners that want to get, like, an initial consultation with absolutely no obligation. You can ask questions and get a better idea of where your practice is at. And then we can talk about some solution options to address gaps that show up, but at, you know, it's your choice if you want to outsource that way.
Gotcha. All right. So you're talking about the HIPAA wall of shame. Are there any other resources where people can learn more about HIPAA?
You know, Google is your friend in this case, I suppose. So, you know, you can look up. The thing is that the larger incidents are what get the media attention, where you get, you know, the $1 million fine, the $2 million fine. You can just Google HIPAA penalties or HIPAA violations, and you'll see tons of examples of it. But keep in mind that small incidents also cost money. They just don't always get the large media attention.
That makes sense. So what are the major downfalls of handling it yourself? Are there any that you haven't covered? besides just thinking about it and having to do it, of course.
Yeah, you know, dedicating the time to it, right, to make sure that it gets done. You run the risk of not doing it properly. And so, like, for instance, the Safe Harbor bill, if you're managing your policies and procedures yourself, and you're not updating them properly, or you don't know about an update because Health and Human Services doesn't do press releases or big announcements when there's a change. They are super impractical. They think that you have the time to go and research these changes, okay. Right? Which is ridiculous because you don't. So if you miss these things, you could be operating under the assumption that you're okay. And when something happens, then that's when the penalties occur. So that's why I always say, start with a risk assessment, because that'll at least give you the roadmap of where you're at, where you have some gaps, and how you could fix them.
Okay. So what does PCI HIPAA offer to practices specifically?
So we offer an automated solution. So we offer an all-in-one solution that manages your HIPAA, OSHA, PCI, breach notification, cyber and data breach insurance, just really a one-stop solution that gets you compliant, keeps you compliant. If something happens, we have your back, and then the insurance is there to financially protect you.
Wow. Okay. So you're talking about cyber and data breach insurance. Why is it important to have? What kind of cost is it? Is it something that PCI HIPAA provides?
Yeah. Yes to all of the above. So very important insurance policy to have, more likely to be used than malpractice or general liability, just because of the state of the world and the amount of incidents that are happening. Statistically, it's like a matter of if, not a matter of when.
Yeah.
So insurance, so important to happen, to have. The reason that it's included in our program is that's how we prevent losses. So we can get you compliant. We can give you assurance that you're protected from the non-compliance penalties, but no one can make a practice bulletproof. So the insurance is there and coupled with the response team so that when something happens, we can take care of it. And the costs that you're subject to, regardless of your compliance status, are covered or offset by that insurance.
Oh, I gotcha. All right. So we talked about HIPAA and PCI. I was surprised to hear OSHA. So you can talk a little bit about that. How is that kind of working with what you guys are offering?
Yeah, you know, the strange thing about challenging times is it really forces us to innovate, right?
Yeah.
And during the pandemic, we did everything that we could to support our clients and work with them through the trying times. And we realized, you know, this is probably the largest health and safety hazard that we'll probably ever see in our lifetime. So we always had OSHA on our product roadmap, and we fast-tracked it during the pandemic and rolled it out in the summer, June of 2020, to automate that piece and bring in something else into that one-stop umbrella for a practice. So
awesome.
We do the OSHA manual, we automate the safety data sheets, the inspection, the labor law OSHA posters, the incident reporting, all of the plans and policies and procedures, as well as the training.
Well, that's nice. It's adding a lot of value for sure to the practice, what you're offering. All right. So when you're onboarding someone, what does the process look like?
Yeah. So everything that we do is like, how can we take as much work away from the practice and take on as much of this for them? So once a practice says go, our attorneys build their HIPAA manual. We build their Office Safe Portal, which is our software and technology that is how we keep someone up to date. And then they spend between 6 and 8 hours is all between a couple of appointments and some homework on their end to get fully updated and compliant in all of those categories. So it's super user-friendly and designed to not take away resources from the practice and give you that, you know, real peace of mind that what you have is going to protect you when something happens.
Yeah, that time piece is huge for doctors. I definitely have noticed that. Can you talk about the cost at all? Like how much it is, how your price?
Yeah, so it ranges depending on what the practice's needs are. We have a couple of different options. We are giving a discount that I won't share on here, but if you mention the podcast, you will get a discount on services.
Okay.
And the price ranges between $329 and $389, depending on what you want, but that's not including the discount for your listeners.
Oh, okay. So if someone's interested in talking with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
The best way would be, you know, to use, I'll give you a link actually. That is PCIHIPAA.com/Danielle. They can take a risk assessment there. They can access a free CE course that I put together, and they can schedule a call with me just to learn more.
Oh, cool. A free CE course. I always like to hear that.
Yeah. So it gives you 2 units. It's a 2-hour on-demand course, and it's a HIPAA certification course that'll help you, you know, go a lot deeper into some of the topics we talked about today.
All right. Danielle, is there anything else you want to cover before we wrap it up?
No, just, you know, thanks for getting this information out and always being a resource for doctors. I appreciate the opportunity to connect with you and with your listeners.
Great. I mean, I think it brought a lot of value to everyone. Thanks for being on today.
Danielle gave us a good overview of HIPAA compliance, the reasons we really need to focus on it, what can happen if we don't, and how easy it can be if you outsource it. If you want to be a guest or have an idea for an episode, just go to orthothrive.com. You can reach out to me personally at richard@orthosalesengine.com. Keep grinding, keep thriving, and I'll see you next time.